Samson Davis, make that Dr. Samson Davis, has a lot of his life tied up in Newark, New Jersey, and Newark and a lot of other inner cities have a lot tied up in him. Dr. Davis wrote a previous book, The Pact, about an agreement he made with two high school friends to become doctors. They did. And in a new book, he describes his experience from returning to be an emergency room physician in the Beth Israel Hospital in Newark, in which he was born, in a way that shines light on the particular needs of healthcare in inner-city America. Samson Davis's new book is Living and Dying in Brick City, An ER Doctor Returns Home. Dr. Samson Davis joins us from the studios of WBGO in Newark. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, a lot of people, with the blessings of their friends and family, would have gotten out of inner-city Newark, gone to medical school, and then become a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. What made you come back?
You know, for me, my calling was a bit different. It was important for me to come back and to become a beacon of hope, if you will, to show young people, especially, that education can change a life, and it changed my life, and it saved my life in so many ways.
Your book opens especially dramatically because you recognize an old friend who comes into the emergency room, Don Moses, or Snake. Mm-hmm. How'd you know him?
He was a young guy that I grew up with in the streets of Newark, and my past wasn't always perfect. I grew up in a single-parent home, five siblings, drug-infested community, and I always had hopes and aspirations of doing more with my life, but I often say you can't aim for what you can't see. Growing up, I was surrounded by so much negative peer pressure and negativity. It wasn't long before I became a part of that fabric. And Snake and I was a part of a team that committed a armed robbery when I was 17 and a half. And I often say 17 and a half because had I been 18, my story would have been written differently. Yeah. But it was that life experience that changed me around, and I was sentenced to 2 years probation, and I started back in high school and received and earned straight A's in high school, went off to college, and went down a different side of the fork in the road towards education. And Snake Don Moses stayed down the same road of crime, and he was in and out of jail. And so happened after I finished college and went off to medical school, came back home for my residency and was doing my trauma residency. And the first day I started my trauma residency, I looked up at the board, and there's Don Moses written on the board in the trauma room, and I'm like, wow, I know that name. And right below was written the words deceased. So I'm sitting in there looking at the board saying, what are the chances that this is the Don Moses that I know? And unfortunately, I sprinted down to the surgical ICU, and it was his body was taken away, but his family was there, and it was the Don Moses that I knew from childhood.
I'm embarrassed to say it hadn't occurred to me until I read your book that the threat of suicide and the problem of depression in inner-city America might be disproportionate, too.
Yes, it is. I mean, when you look at mental illness in the inner-city community particularly, it's taboo. It's almost like I can't say to another person that I'm depressed because it destroys, especially if it's a man talking to another man, it destroys the man code, if you will. But in the book, I refer to a young man that I grew up with who was this bright, happy young guy who I remember playing basketball with. And I left, went off to college and medical school. When I returned, he didn't look the same. He tried to act as if he was happy, but I mean, everything about him screamed depression. His depression stemmed from many things. He lost his mother, he lost his girlfriend, his fiance, and he never sought help for it because it was one of those situations that I've come to understand that it's, you just don't talk about it. He unfortunately took his life. He just spiraled out of control. He had no resources and no ways of dealing with it or coping with it.
Toward the end of this book, you decide to leave Beth, what you call Beth Israel. Call it Beth, almost like a family member. Now, you're still involved in Newark. But what can be done to bring more medical care, including more doctors, into inner city areas?
I think one is attention to the matter at hand and to realize that there is a need that exists in the inner cities as far as health care. not only in the inner cities, but in a great amount of rural areas as well. Also feel that there has to be a program in place that encourage youth from the beginning to become doctors, to become healthcare professionals. There has to be more programs that exist that's in place to help the students matriculate through high school, through college, through medical school. Because more often, just like myself, you come back to home. Mm-hmm. Through my mother's way of handling life, she always made sure that I understood the need to give back, to come back and to help. She always said, once you make it, you have to come back and help other people. Too often in Newark especially, I see so many professionals that do make it out, they don't return. And I think that's a crime in itself, that you have to have some social consciousness to give back, to be a part of making a better tomorrow.
Dr. Samson Davis, he has left Beth Israel in Newark, but he continues to practice medicine in New Jersey and travel the country to offer advice on medical care in inner cities. His new book, Living and Dying in Brick City, and the Air Doctor Returns Home. Samson Davis, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.